Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
The Federal Reserve announced its annual stress test for 33 large US banks and US subsidiaries of foreign banks. How are the banks doing? This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Edina Boumidi, Head of Markets at IG, and Peter Tuckman, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, guys. So good to see you.
Good to see you. Hi, Salah.
Hi, Peter.
Peter, because of Corona, the regulator tried to reflect a harsher economic reality. How is the situation for the banks at the moment?
So I think it's really important to note, and I really appreciate the question because there's so much to it and there's so many different narratives going around it. So it's important to note that the stress test was developed after the financial crisis to basically give a report card to the banks on how they are doing at this moment and how are they prepared for a potential recession or depression, God forbid what happens, right, in an event of a crisis. So we are obviously trying to prevent a further financial crisis. So before the coronavirus, this is the good part. Before the virus, the banks were actually in very good condition. Okay, so the banks are starting from a higher level. However, what we are seeing, and we've talked about it over the last bunch of weeks, we have a divergence here, a bifurcation between the way the economy is doing and the markets are doing. So I think it's important for people to hone in on the fact that one of the basis is of the economy in the effect that the crisis really starts to eat away at the economy, which it is doing, is the condition and the strength and the fundamentals of the banks. How well capitalized are the banks now and in the event of a depression or a recession as the economy tries to reopen and we really see the implications and the damage that's been done by the virus? So the stress test was done, and the first time since the Depression, we're seeing some fairly large restrictions being put on the banks by the Federal Reserve, right? We're seeing a suspension of dividends for the most part, which is basically they're not going to be paying out money. The whole goal is to maintain liquidity and capitalization of the banks to keep them healthy. So if we suspend dividends, we're going to retain our money in the bank. And secondly, they're going to suspend buybacks. It's a contentious question whether buybacks work. How are they supported by the marketplace? Is it basically a way for companies to sort of pad the, you know, in the event of a downward market, is it a way for the companies to sort of pad the condition, the appearance of the condition of their stocks? Once again, it's them spending money in a time where we need them to maintain their capitalization. Okay, so this is all. And so basically, they've been given two very high level restrictions, never before seen since the Depression, on the banks to maintain capitalization and not give out money because we don't know. Right. I think it's important within the answer of this question to realize is that the banks, more than most stocks, in the event of the second quarter earnings, have not even been able to give guidance. Right. Guidance earnings are a number that you come up with, right, in the event during earnings season on how profit and loss, asset and revenues and how the companies are doing. Guidance is forward looking and to see what they project by the powers that be within a corporation, what their projection is for the coming quarter. Right. And that usually is something that they're actually able to do. We're able to look at how the company's doing, the economy, what's going on in the market, how is the unemployment and whatnot. Take all these numbers and come up with a guidance, a forward-looking number or a projection on the health of the company. Well, what's happened here, and it's rightly so, is that the companies, no company, especially the banks, have been able to project any kind of a health level of health for the coming economy because there are so many still unknowns. So I think it's a big deal that they did this. I think it's a protective measure, right? And, you know, there's more to the story, but I'll end it with that.
From a German point of view, we always keep an eye on Deutsche Bank. The last years, the bank struggled, but this time it looked okay. What do you think about Deutsche Bank?
You know what? I've known, look, they've gone through so many struggles over the last number of years. The internal thing, the accounting thing, the level of negative interest rates throughout Europe, their exposure to all the different economies of the world, right? I think it's important to note, and I'm going to say it relative to what's happening here today, that the European Union, for the first time, is actually going to start restricting us coming to visit you, right? So I think that you guys handled the virus much better than we did, as you can see by its spread, the amount of deaths, and the health of your economy. So I think forward guidance on Deutsche Bank is probably a little bit better than it's been, especially relative to what's going on in the US.
Forward guidance is a really good topic actually in this time, because nobody can make a guidance for the future right now, because you see, we said before, Corona is still in the play, is still in play, and the numbers are picking up. I don't hope that we will get a second wave, but this is what something could cause, or nobody knows the impacts. Maybe, because like you said really good the weeks before, we just priced in one thing, which is the euphoria thing, and not other cases. So what do you think, when can we actually start giving guidance as a company in the next for the next time?
I think what we priced in was the stimulus and the liquidity that the Federal Reserve has been pumping in the market, and a little bit fear of missing out, and a little bit of hope and best case scenario euphoria. That's clear. A story that I read today, actually, which I find fascinating relative to your question about guidance, is the fact that we're trying to reopen the economies of the world. Okay, we're doing it within the realm of social distancing, wearing masks, and 25 to 30% capacity in many different industries, whether it's in the workforce, whether it's in an airline, whether it's in a stadium, whether it's in a casino. And what we're seeing now in the airlines, this morning actually, news came out that three airlines decided that they, if they keep one seat empty in between three seats, then the actual flight is a losing proposition. There is no way for them to make money. In fact, they will be losing money. So three companies, and I don't remember, I think it's JetBlue, Delta Airlines, and one other airline said, you know what? We are going to maintain social distancing rules. We are going to run at the loss we need to prevent the spread of the virus. Three other American airlines said, you know what? We can't afford to run this way. And I don't remember, I think American Airlines and one other said, we are going to pack our planes. We are going to hope for the best. That their explanation was that if someone were to spread the virus, it wouldn't matter that there was someone missing in the middle seat. It would actually be able to be spread over 12 seats. So you know what I'm saying? So what do we know here? How do we know about the stops and the starts in the reopening of the economy? How do we know about guidance relative? I think what we can lock in a little bit about banks' guidance better than before is that the Federal Reserve not only is stimulating the large corporations to the best of their ability, but they are also backstopping the banks in case of a problem that gets worse, whether it's the continuation of wave one, the reappearance of wave two, and whatnot. So I think that I don't think we can actually give guidance, but we have a little better idea now of the health levels into the future of the banks. I don't think we're going to really be able, for the next 3 to 6 months, be able to really give guidance about the corporations, the hospitality industry, the airline industry, the gaming industry, all the other industries, retail. How can we do that? We don't know. I think the only thing we can say is that for the next 3 to 6 months, that the pandemic-friendly stocks, which is social media, which is home communication, the Zooms of the day and whatnot, and I think the tech sector, the Amazons and whatnot, with a little bit of the food business, seems to be rallying. We're seeing Kroger and trading at record highs. We saw Albertsons, which is an American food company, actually IPO their stock last Friday. And I think it's important note to interject right now that besides the stress test that was done on the banks, we also had the Volcker rule reevaluated last week, and it completely disrupted everybody's sense of what's going on by releasing a lot of the restrictions on banks. So while we have banks being looked at from a stress test and being given more regulation in a big way to protect capitalization, we had a complete release of restrictions with the new Volcker rule laws, which basically, for those of your audience that don't know it, what can banks do with their money? What can you do with them with deposits, right? And in the past, they have not been able to invest in new companies and startups. They were not able to go and trade with hedge funds and institutions. Banks were restricted in what they could do with the money they had under management. Well, the Volcker rule has just been given a free rein. And I don't know who gave that one a little tickle, but that actually offsets the negativity of the stress test and gives banks an opportunity to really put their money to work. So there's two opportunities in a market that's going up. I think this is what we saw in the financial crisis of 07, 08, when we bailed out AIG. If you give companies, and we're seeing it with the stimulus, a lot of the money is trickling into the nooks and crannies of the market. And so what you see is it's fueling the market to go higher, right? If you give banks the opportunity to invest in the market, it's a self-fulfilled prophecy. They go up, they're healthier, market goes up.
But we said before, in the weeks before, the recovery is still fragile. And if you look back to the S&P 500, of course, capitalization is increasing by Fed, by the banks. I'm absolutely with you. But looking technically on the S&P 500, we closed below the 200 moving average on Friday. If you look on the advanced decline line, it's not cool. The volatility index, VIX, is still trading above the 50-day moving average. So there are a lot of momentum factors that are showing me signals that we are losing momentum and losing ground, and we could get into a new correction mode. What do you think about this, just from a technical perspective?
So you and I, the three of us, have been chatting now for a couple of months and very often discussing the bifurcation of the economy versus the markets during the pandemic. Okay, so we had a big sell-off in March. We had a huge rebound of the 30, 40, 50, five Fibonacci, 60% rally. And now it's hard to know. In a normal marketplace, you would call this consolidation. You would call it a little bit of a flat line. You would call it a stop and go market, right? You'd call it a market that's trading within technical realms of moving averages. We're seeing it hit resistance and back off. We're seeing it hit support and rally back. So the question is the market running out of steam? Is perhaps the stimulus money waiting again for a little bit of a re-up, as it were, right? Or, as we've also seen, I think it's important to note, and we've talked about it before, that net-net, with all the rebound from the March 23rd lows, I believe, and we believe, we've talked about it, that the market is not up on fundamentals. It is, in fact, fragile. Over the last couple of weeks, we saw a down 1,800. Since we spoke last, we saw a day where a perfect storm came in relative to some the biotechs not getting the green light on some of their virus treatments. We saw a surge in some of the southern states that's quite significant. We saw some airlines, you know, and the cruise lines getting hit a little bit. And we saw that sell-off of 1,800 points. In the big picture, 1,800 points is not bad, but it showed fragility in the marketplace. And then we saw last week, we saw some days where the market was able to break through the moving averages. And we saw that in the United States, at least in more than half of the states, a complete resurgence of the virus, not phase 2, a continuation of phase 1, were able to identify why it happened. Yet we have the administration that's not giving us a basis for some regulation that would help us. So there are many factors going into. I agree with you that the market is fragile. It could be setting us up for a sell-off. As we saw on Friday, the market did sell off quite significantly. I think the most significant news was the fact that the U.S. is spiking up in a huge way, hospitalization. While the administration says more testing, more virus, that's really not the case if you follow science. It is, in fact, more hospitalizations. Young people are getting sick, right? We're not seeing a spike in deaths yet, but that's down the road, unfortunately. We're seeing the manifestation of the Memorial Day partying, and we're seeing a manifestation of the early reopenings and the fact that people suddenly came out of their house roaring, forgetting that we are in the middle of a pandemic, and we're now seeing the ramifications of that. So I agree with you. I kind of think, you know, every time I say, you know what, market's fragile, it seems like it's coming in, we see another resurgence. We did see on Thursday, it's important to note that the Volcker Rule news came out Thursday morning here in the U.S. and the market felt weak. Last week was a weak week. It felt like a fragile week, right? The trend seemed to be down, right, for the first time in a while. And midday on Thursday, no one responded because, in fact, net-net, the release of the regulations on the Volcker Rule are very positive for the banks. It's like the reins are off, go running, invest in startups. Have a nice day. Get into the market. You know, enjoy some of the health of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The market didn't respond to it. And suddenly, around 2:30 in the afternoon, the market just took off. No headline. You know, I trade on a daily basis. And I'm watching it going, what came out? What, you know, what happened? And the market actually reversed 400 points. And it was almost as if the news had marinated for a while. And as we often see, the banks are the leading indicator of what's going on. And the banks took off. And it was as if they suddenly said, oh, my God, we're not responding to this super positive news. And on Thursday, the market sort of caught everyone by surprise. I think there was some short cover and the market rallied. Yet again, on Friday, we saw a market that was so weak. We saw it breaking down below in the S&P and the Dow, down 700. We almost saw it down 70 handles on the S&P. That's a big thing. We closed right at the 3,000 level. So, you know, as I always say, you and I could say that it looks fragile. Are we setting up for the market to start? As I've always talked about, is the market going to catch up with the economy? Mm-hmm. We know is in trouble. Or is the economy going to catch up with the market and catch some of that headwind? I kind of think that the market is starting to focus a little bit on how bad things are and maybe responding to that. But, you know, don't hold me to it, because next week they may, Mr. Kudlow said, they may release some more money. There may be another wave of stimulus, and then I'll be caught with my pants down.
Peter, even though you guys in the U.S. Still have a spike in the coronavirus numbers, I read some articles saying that the U.S. Companies are coming out of this crisis stronger than European companies. In bottom line, European companies make 30% less revenue and US companies make around 20% less than before Corona. Do you think is this only a thing because you have the strong tech companies which are still making a lot of money and which are digital? Or is this a general thing? Because I think when I look on the news that you still have a lot of companies that can't work, a lot of things are closed still. What do you make out of this?
You know what I think it's important to note in this situation right now? That there are a lot of opinions out there. And there are a lot of people sitting there writing stories of research that they did. And to be perfectly honest, it's, you know, everybody has an opinion, right? And I'm not clear that even people well-known and well-known media organizations and newspapers, they've got their facts are, you know what we're seeing here in the United States. Everything from we're seeing things our world in the USA right now is trading and existing in this delusionary partisan fashion, all the way down to wearing masks, right? If you read what's going on here in the US, if you wear a mask, that must means you're a liberal Democrat. And if you don't wear a mask, you're a Trumper, okay? How insane is that when it's about science? Okay, so people's opinions about, yes, our tech industry is, NASDAQ has rebounded really quite beautifully. And we know that they're, let's be clear. On February 12th, the United States stock market, the NASDAQ and our economy and unemployment were trading record lows in unemployment and record highs in market. That's February 12th. That's 4 months ago. Okay. And now we are 4 months later, there are 120,000 people have passed away, right? And 2.5 million people have been exposed. Are those numbers real? I don't even know about that. There are companies that got a lot of stimulus. The United States Federal Reserve gave $1.8 billion to people who are no longer alive. There is such a strange mood here about what's real and what's fake, about putting out news that suits you and serves you and what's really fact in so many ways. So yes, is Amazon, and so what I started to say was, we started at a very healthy situation. The economy, whether some believe it or not, and I'm not an economist, it appeared that a lot of the US economy was coming from a very healthy place a short 4 months ago. And then we've gotten swept up into this 4 month fury and pandemic, and God bless everybody who's lost some family member all over the world. So I'm not sure you guys were in as good a shape 4 months ago as we. So it's a matter of, where do you start the race from? You know, do you start the race? Everyone starts the race at the starting line, or were we starting the race given a little bit of a hedge, right? And in that way, we may appear to look better. I think the reality of a lot of U.S. companies is going to come out that we are not in as good shape as we were. And you never know how much of $3 trillion has been distributed to these companies, right? That's it's like Christmas in July, right? What can I say?
This week, or not this week, but since we talked last time, you went back to the floor of the New York Stock Exchange for the first time. How is it being back there? How's the atmosphere?
So I think it's important to note that I really believe that the world, and surely the investment community globally and domestically, really missed having human beings on the floor of the stock exchange. It's wonderful. I am not back on a full-time basis. The floor of the New York Stock Exchange opened up in a very skeleton crew. I don't want to use the word skeleton, sorry, just 25 to 30% of each firm is allowed back on the floor. They're following very, very strict social distancing rules and PPP. Everyone is wearing a mask. There are plexiglass partitions. We are not allowed to congregate on the floor. And so each company that I really kind of believe we're being given one good shot to get this right, and they've done it. They have incredible advisors. Scott Gottlieb, the head of the FDA, is one of their medical advisors. They have federal and local advisors. They've done a really great job in organizing the floor in conjunction with medical agencies and whatnot to protect everyone on the floor, to protect the integrity of the floor, right? There are no guests allowed. There's no media allowed. So, and they obviously want everyone whose career this is and the profession it is to be able to bring home a paycheck. In that way, my firm, I was not included in phase one. My son was, and there are other people in the company who were. And so far, it's running quite smoothly. The market is cooperating with our trading. The customers are really happy we are back. I've been there actually now three times. I come in on it. So we have a core group of 25 to 30% who are there on a daily basis. And then they allow a few more people around on busy days. Since we spoke last, we had the double S&P rebalance, the quarterly rebalance, which was a big deal a few Fridays ago. And this past Friday, we had the Russell reconstitution, which is a rather large. We, in fact, traded 2.58 million shares on the close, closing with a 3.2 billion share day. So that was a big deal. So on these big days, and on Fridays, I believe a couple of days during the week, also they allow us to have a few more people just to execute stock. The mood on the floor, for me, it was wonderful to be back. The room is still the room it used to be. It is a bit muted because there are fewer people. The market makers are back, and they're a big part of our institution. The brokers are there. The traders are there. It felt fantastic to me. You know, the energy and the magic that goes on in that room was there. The atmosphere was a little bit muted, I must say, but it was good to be back. I think the market and the people in the global community really appreciate it.
And we love to know that you're back on the floor. So the icon must be there, right?
Great to be back.
Guys, thank you very much. Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street, and Salah Edine Boumidi, head of markets at IG. Guys, thank you so much. This was the IG Trading Talk. Thanks for watching. For more information, also check out the website ig.com. Thank you, guys, and see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you, Salah.
Thank you, Peter.